And we're just going to start this one off with some beef. Welcome to New Game Plus. This is a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
It's your boy Nolan.
Hey, my boy Nolan. And this is retro recap number 5. This is where every 20 episodes...
Or so,
we retrospectively look at the last set of games that we played, and we talk about those games and those episodes, how we feel about them now, what we think about them now, maybe some fond memories from the episode itself. And for this episode, for Retro Recap 5, we're looking at the last 25 games we've played. Before we hop into those games, I've gathered a few statistics about our last set of games in the catalog. Are you guys interested?
Meh.
I'm very interested.
All right, we'll move right along then.
Nolan's got your back. He's your boy.
He's my boy, Nolan. 25 games. Out of those 25, 12 of them were New Game Plus certified, meaning 13 were not.
That's interesting because it's a straight split almost. Isn't there some...
I think that's probably correct or fair or maybe. I don't know.
I think because there's, right, like you flip a coin, it's going to be about the same results.
Right, but I feel like this coin in retro gaming history should land on the negative side a lot more often than it does the positive side.
Really? Yeah. Our list is pretty brutal sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more bad games out there than good games.
You might be right.
Out of the last 25 games, the oldest one that we've played, want to take a guess?
Like the year?
Yeah.
83.
I was going to say 83, but I'm going to say 82 just to try and be older, but I think I'm wrong.
The oldest game in the last 25 episodes.
No, I lied. 70 something. I'm going to say 70 something.
Is E.T. from 1982.
Dang it, I was right.
I was right.
No, you changed it.
Through the magic of editing, I could have been exactly correct. So
the newest game that we played, the most recent game that we played.
2003?
Is 2001's Halo on the Xbox.
Yeah, I should have known that. I just did the 15-year math and assumed that we might have played something right at the tail end.
Well, your math is off.
Our longest episode was at 58 minutes and 48 seconds.
Oh my gosh. Was that an element or a bonus episode?
No. I'm just talking about the main core games.
Wow. Yeah. That's a long
episode. What would we have talked too much about?
Kenny's favorite game, E.T.
That was an hour long?
That's why.
Almost an hour long.
Why? That's like the only game that shouldn't have been.
Because we had to deal with you guys trolling me the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
We were all about that.
We'll talk about it later. At the shortest game out of the last 25, the shortest episode, 37 minutes and 50 seconds.
Nice and tight.
Spy Hunter. Makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Perfect sense. Because we had nothing Drive to talk forward. About.
The average time of our episode is 48 minutes and 36 seconds, which is a little on the long side because we originally were going for like 46, 47, but yeah. You know.
I think that's a good length, though, for most people that listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
That's an hour-long commute.
All right, what do you think was the most played system? There's one that we played the most of
Super
these 25
Nintendo.
Games on.
I'm going to say...
Super Nintendo for Kenny, what do you say, Nolan?
I'm going to say NES.
The most played system this last era was PC.
Really?
Yeah. Closely followed by arcade and NES. They were tied right afterwards.
I don't know why I always go for NES. That would probably be my guess most times because I think retro and I'm like, oh, original Nintendo, duh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was PC this time, which I doubt that was the case for any of our other retro recaps.
No. Yeah, look at the draw.
Well, those are 25 games that we are now going to talk about retrospectively. We only have a few moments for each, but bear with us as we journey through our catalog reviewing the last 25 games.
And we're just going to start this one off with some beef. Mega Man 3 for episode 110 did not receive our new game plus status.
Nolan hated this
game. And it's because of these two bozos that don't know anything about games or fun. You should see them in real life. They're just boring. They don't
We're
do
just
anything.
Boring and never play games.
It's Dr. Wily no Saigo.
So it is Mega Man 3. This was made 2 years after Mega Man 2, which we played earlier in our catalog. And we all unanimously enjoyed Mega Man 2, but there was an issue with Mega Man 3, for me at least. And it was just that it was so unforgivably hard. They took platforming to a completely new level, made it so punishing. And I remember that week I struggled to even beat one of the bosses.
Yeah, where 2 was enjoyably challenging, 3 was, and maybe it's just old age talking, it very realistically could have. I remember enjoying this game as a kid, but this playthrough, I struggled in the same place, Dustin. Too difficult. And it was competing in my mind, not just with like every other game that we play, but specifically with Mega Man 2, which is a little unfair, but the way we do things, we're going to always compare to our own library. And so, I don't know, arguably one we may have gotten wrong, but
I thought the music was subpar compared to 2. I thought the platforming was subpar compared to 2. I thought it all. I mean, so they added the slide mechanic. Yay. Like that's the one good thing.
No, that's iconic and stayed forever. Y'all need better skills, first of all. Of Mega Man 2. I stand by my verdict of giving it. And I have like a note for each of these games, almost each of them, in bold that I want to say. And this one I wanted to say, Kenny likes Sylvester and Tweety and KG Capers better and is an idiot.
He did.
And you too, Dustin.
Yeah. No.
Yes,
you
he did.
Me
Go listen
that.
To it. Facts.
Facts, Kenny brought up and compared Mega Man 3 to that game, and I stayed far away from that.
We had just played it recently, and I was making a single point about a gameplay element. Either way, like we can't change the past, and this one didn't get New Game Plus. A game that did get New Game Plus, however, was episode 111, Metal Slug. This game is probably the one that I have been closest to going back and replaying recently.
Really?
Because I've seen it numerous times, and every time I see the title, I have the itch to open up this game and play with it. It's fast, it's loud, it's bold, there's a ton of crazy weapons, and it's just one of those games that you can sit down and casually play and blow everything up and just have a great time.
Yeah, super solid arcade title.
Oh yeah, I think it is like the classic iconic run and gun title. Like I think it is perfectly run and gun. It's completely a quarter eater because you get hit one time by one of the bullets that are flying on the screen and you're dead. You've got a few lives, you know, but do you remember, that you're not always just running by yourself. You can get in that amazing jumping tank as well.
Iconic.
Which, weirdly enough, is not the only jumping tank we see in our 25 episodes.
Don't get ahead of yourself, no.
Well, see, I honestly would argue that it is one of the best arcade games all time. Like, so you've got like the classics, right? You've got Pac-Man and Frogger and stuff like that. So I'm not necessarily putting it with those, but I'm saying that like out of this kind of genre for arcade games, I just think this game works. The length of it was perfect. The difficulty of it was perfect. The graphics and the music. Remember that jazz? Wasn't there like this jazz
basslines,
soundtrack?
Jazzy soundtrack in the middle of Vietnam War. It's great.
The next game on our list was episode 112 with Bart versus the Juggernauts. And it was one of our few Game Boy games.
Yeah, it really was. That console doesn't come up often in our list in general.
And when it does, I'm always trepidatious. No, I didn't say it right. Because, like, with the handheld console, it's always got to be somewhat difficult. There's no color, you know, with the original Game Boy. But this is bringing Simpsons to the Game Boy in the style of American Gladiators,
which should not be a thing. And it turns out we don't think so either.
Yeah. Like, American Gladiators was amazing and great, and I want to go back and relive in that era of my life. But this game was just terrible mini games.
It was designed poorly. Like, I think at least Kenny and I admitted that we respect the Simpsons' essence and humor, like the effort in those two things. Like, it felt like a Simpsons title because of the humor and like stylistically, but the gameplay was inhibited by this, mini games. It's an anthology game. And I mentioned I like those games like WarioWare, but this one made you, like, you would be stuck at the very beginning of the game because it's unreasonably difficult and glitchy mini game that you had to get a certain score to move on.
Oh, and Kenny, you thought of a really good workaround for this. Like, it really is like six or seven, maybe eight mini games, but you're only privy to two of them at the beginning, and you have to beat them. And it's a really tight window to be able to beat them. But Kenny, you just talked about, like, what if, like, just all six were available to you and you had to beat them in whatever order you wanted to? I think that would have solved this, because some of the mini games were interesting. Some of them were unique. And again, it's a Game Boy title, so you're not looking for super depth there. But all we really got to play that week without save states, you know, is a skateboarding game and this basketball with changing tiles on the floor mini game. And those two are just not enough to hold this. And definitely didn't get our vote.
Even the others were bad, though, and not related to each other. And they could have presented it differently and it would have helped, but it still wouldn't have been good.
My bolded statement for this episode is Dustin says Chrono Triggle at 39:42. And that leads us into our next game, Anachronox. Was episode 113. And the reason those two things are connected is because the developers of Anachronox, which is a PC sci-fi RPG game,
they put out their own rumor.
They put out their own rumor and described their own game to, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy, Ender's Game, amongst other like giant beloved games. And we're like, come play our game.
Why? Yeah.
They threw out those three things. You cannot throw out those three things.
No,
not unless your game delivers, and this game didn't.
And even if it does, you don't get to do that. Fans get to do that. Don't ever say that.
To be fair, we don't know that the creators of Anachronox put that out. That was our theory.
I'm pretty sure they did, though. I'm pretty sure they did.
It's this futuristic RPG. What wasn't it for the? Was this one? Yeah, this was PC. For the PC.
Oh, PC.
The reason why I remember is because one of your characters, this is one of the cool things about it, I thought, one of your characters is your cursor, is your mouse cursor.
Yeah.
It's that drone, Fatima. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun concept, fun way of kind of acknowledging that interaction, but in a way that's not, you know, unbearable.
Yeah, I really liked it. Like, they addressed the cursor on the screen, which doesn't bother me usually. That's not immersion breaking, but I just thought it was fun that they kind of meshed the two things with the breaking the fourth wall.
This was in that not sweet spot of early kind of polygon style graphics where they were trying to make people's faces and it just looked like square, lumpy, evil potatoes stuck on the top of somebody's head. And it was one of many things that made me not, you know, like ultimately care for this game, but it was, it was an interesting take.
It's one of those titles that I think that they were just too ambitious. It's not that, you know,
absolutely,
with some games, you get that they were not ambitious enough or weren't creative enough or didn't have enough love to put into it. I think these developers had all of those things, but to the nth degree. And, like, they just went way too far with it, and then it doesn't work out in the end.
And see, it's not a bad game. I wouldn't call it a bad game. I thought there was a lot of potential there, but it just didn't click. It didn't age particularly well. I didn't mention before, but it did not get our New Game Plus status.
Which takes us to a game that did get our New Game Plus status, although how well it aged is possibly arguable, as we went to this weird little gem of a Genesis title.
What is it called?
Toe Jam and Earl.
And I did rap on this episode, and it was really good.
And Tom's edit on this one, I'm not going to say what it is. You just need to go listen to this episode. It's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the worst, but...
It's episode 114, and if you know anything about this game, it's these two alien friends called Toe Jam. One's Toe Jam, and one's Earl, and it's their quest to become Funk Lords of the galaxy.
Because, you know...
I mean, that's a fair quest.
But what's a Funk Lord?
It's Toe Jam and Earl.
If you have to ask, you don't get to know.
It reeked of the 90s in the best way possible.
Yes.
But and it's just straight up self-aware, silly game. But the reason this is one of our most legendary episodes, it's a piece of NGP lore here. This was a Patreon poll submit like week that we selected. And it was submitted by Jay Queasy. And he doesn't say much, or he used to not say much in Discord, but every time we had a Patreon poll, he would submit this game. And finally, everyone rallied together and put in their votes for this game, and it got picked.
And it finally happened.
I have a fan theory, a fan of our fans theory.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
That Jay Queasy is really Macaulay Culkin.
What?
I don't want to hear the explanation. Don't go further.
It's like known that this is his favorite video game of all time.
Oh, Macaulay Culkin's.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Nice
he plays
trivia.
It every day.
I hope not. That'd kill myself because I didn't give an NGP. Both of y'all did because you're PC and you didn't want to upset fans.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I thought that this game was unique and endearing. Mm-mm. It was there's no other game like it. You walk around on these randomly generated platforms, Earths, and you try to find pieces of your ship. And an elevator to the next level. I thought it was super endearing.
Yeah, funky, fun 90s replayability.
Episode 115 is the prequel to the next Willow that has been announced is coming out soon. Have you heard that, guys?
What?
I haven't heard. Oh, I did hear that.
You need to look into it.
I forgot that I heard that.
Yeah, a sequel.
Oh, gosh.
Another one. And I think with maybe even some of the same cast. But this is Willow, which is a video game made from a movie, came out in 1989 for the NES. It was a straight up Zelda clone, and we ended up giving it our vote for New Game Plus status.
We did, and kind of surprisingly so. I didn't expect that would happen when I heard this game was announced. It's like,
I didn't either.
So Kenny loves the movie. I've never seen it. I don't think Dustin's seen it.
It's old school 80s cheesy, but like you can't go wrong.
It's a top-down adventure game, and it has a great soundtrack, actually.
I distinctly remember a few of the things of the episode of the game being something I enjoyed, such as like the weapons at first. When you're given them, you swing slow with them at first until you use them enough or kill enough things with it, and then you become adept at it and it swings faster. I like that. But then I didn't like how, do you remember how a few of the towns are literally like a dozen different huts and they all look the same and there's no mini map and you can easily get lost. Some of them are completely empty. But then there's this magic system and there's these different weapons that each have their own images. Like I just found myself kind of right in the middle. But yeah, we ended up saying that the movie and the game probably both underrated and deserve to be respected more than they are.
That was our first game of 2018 too. So that's how we kicked off this year.
Willow brought us into the new year.
Followed by Spy Hunter for episode 116. No New Game Plus on this one. And rightly so, it's trash. It's an arcade game.
It's an old game on the arcade.
Kenny kept trying to make it sound good, like, oh, there's merits. And no, it's a car game. It's a vehicular combat game? No, I don't even know what to call it. It's just top-down view.
Just an arcade classic. It's where you're driving.
Okay.
Yeah, you're driving vertically along the screen. You're trying to hit take out these like metal limo cars. Kenny made sure to note that they were metal, like the other cars weren't. It's a James Bond wannabe. Remember how they thought they were going to be a James Bond game?
They actually like made it with that licensing in mind, I thought. And
people were like, nah, you can't do this.
Well, it's so bad that the beginning of your play is this grace period where you can't die so that you don't waste your quarters too quickly. And as soon as the actual game starts, you die immediately. It's just a poorly done game.
It's a sucky game.
It's one of those old arcade fast twitch games that the style of what they were going for, you could tell they thought out, and it could have been a better concept, but it ends up just being too hard. You want to go fast, but if you go too fast, it's impossible. And if you go too slow, it's still impossible. So good luck.
Spy Hunter.
No, no. There was some confusion in this one about what the James Bond theme actually was. So go listen to that.
Our next game was NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
From downtown.
He's on fire. And this game did get New Game Plus status.
Yeah, duh. Because classic and super amazing classic and hilarious.
There's so many good things about this game, right? Your shoes light up when you're using your turbo. You can do these massive dunks. It's just 2-on-2. Like, it's not a full court basketball or like a full team basketball game.
I think that was a smart decision, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. With this, I mean, this is that kind of genre of like, what's the football one?
Blitz.
NFL Blitz. Yeah. And different games like this, where it just creates this ludicrous, outlandish, like version of everybody's favorite sports. Yeah, and it just worked.
It kind of hit me why they made those games. Those games are sports games for nerds that don't like sports, because I enjoyed all those games so much, but I do not like sports games.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I think sports lovers want to play something fairly realistic.
Right.
But video game lovers just want to play something outlandish.
And this one was fully outlandish. Had some crazy... Couldn't you do, like, big head mode and all kinds of just ridiculous things?
Oh, yeah. You could play as anywhere. Hillary Clinton.
Right. Like, they took ridiculous and just dunked on it.
Well, and it started as an arcade game, and I think it's perfect because do you remember for a quarter, like a 25-cent piece, you can play a full quarter. That's a long arcade game time for just a simple quarter. I love that.
Yeah.
But it did suffer from rubber band AI. It suffers in one player mode, just straight up. Like, it's a lot better to play against a friend, and playing today against a friend might be difficult if you don't own the game, if you don't own the console. But it did come out on like Super Nintendo, on like many other different consoles, so that you could have access to it today. It's followed by episode 118. DuckTales, probably one of the biggest surprises for me in these last 25 games, and we surely gave it our vote for New Game Plus status.
Yeah, we did.
And we did. Some excellent platforming.
And the intro to this one is the worst thing ever. Again, Tom just giving us a little bonus cookie in there.
A woo! Right?
Yeah. Dustin did the theme song just like that, and for our normal intro song, Tom just riddled it with that sound bite from Dustin. Capcom made this game. We did not expect that.
The iconic company created this 5-level only NES title with, like, at first we didn't know what we were getting into. You know, you start the game and you try to jump on an enemy's head and you get damaged right away. You're not even one of the nephews. You're Scrooge McDuck, right? Isn't that who you are?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just, everything set up for it as though it's not going to be that notable of a game.
And then you discover that awesome bounce on your cane mechanic that totally frees you up to platform in some really creative ways, and then realize that the game they made was just unique and that they were willing to throw some really neat exploration in there, and it just went from being like this was just make it because the title's popular kind of game to a really good video game that just happens to have the skin of something popular on it.
And Dustin, you blew my mind in this episode when you made the comparison to Shovel Knight. And it's so true. Like, they definitely were DuckTales fans.
Well, yeah, you've got that whole pogo stick type mechanic going on, which we've got another game in our in these 25 episodes that does that as well. But I really thought that this is like maybe the best looking NES title, especially with some of the latter stages, like the moon and even the theme to that. The music is some of the best as well. Nolan, I thought maybe you didn't care for the music as much, or maybe I'm just misremembering retrospectively, but just the music, the graphics, the gameplay, the length of this game, I just thought it pretty much nailed everything it was trying to do.
That brings us to episode 119, Super Mario Land 2. 6 golden coins. And this did get New Game Plus from all three of us, I believe. And it's a Game Boy title sequel to Mario Land 1, but super different than the first one.
There's completely no Bowser.
Different.
There's no Bowser. Wario.
Yep, Wario for the first time ever.
Yeah, and the director of this game made Wario.
Oh yeah, and Miyamoto, is that his name?
Right.
He had nothing to do with this game.
Nope.
I'm sure he had something, but like he didn't develop this game. He didn't do, like, it was a totally different thing, and you feel that it was a totally different game than the other Marios up to this point.
Sure, yeah, I loved it. Being someone who's played Wario games and enjoy them, I felt Wario in this game, and I shouldn't have, because it's so old and it was his first game, but like you can tell, like in the design of the sprites and the humor that was there, that like Wario was a great character that they added to the series.
Yeah, this one was childhood staple for me and so fun. Picking it up was a little bit like riding a bike. I remembered more things than I thought I would remember. And Mario navigates in some really unique ways. You get some kind of unique power-ups, that carrot that gives you flying bunny ears that's just so awesome. And this one was just real, real fun.
Retrospectively, I think I like this game even more than what I did the week that we played it. Wow. You remember that coin hut, how you spend your coins, the different stages in the overworld map that you can go to. They're different thematically. The difficulty level was kind of right on, in my opinion. I just felt like so many things were done right with this game. I do think that the console itself is limiting, and I argued that during that episode. But yeah, Super Mario Land 2 is definitely one that got our vote.
If I was stuck on a desert island with a Game Boy that was going to work eternally, after Tetris, this would be in the running for a title that I chose to have with me. Our next episode was 120, and we got to play Blaster Master. This game is New Game Plus certified, and was a really unique game in that you kind of got two different styles of playthrough. You got this sort of platforming tank that could jump. We referenced that earlier in the episode. And then you got this sort of, not first person, but sort of character-driven top-down view.
Top down.
Or I mean, it was sort of isometric. I don't know. How would you explain it?
Yeah, that's isometric, right?
Or not top down,
way.
But not isometric either.
Right,
it's just
right,
kind
right.
of a.
You're not platforming side to side. You're looking at your character from the top and running around as your player. And it was really unique.
This is the other one with a jumping tank, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. This is the one. Spoiler. So Dustin went on a 3-minute rant. I looked at the time. It was about a 3-minute rant in that episode about his hatred for all the design decisions that they made in this game. And I think it's because he streamed this game that week and I watched it.
Even the day of, though, like I beat that game the day of from start to finish and I streamed it the whole day. And
he was just done by the end of it.
I mean, okay, so the rant was long, 3 minutes plus, but there's other things in there. But here's the thing. If you guys remember, there's no save function, and that's completely unacceptable with this game. That being said, I ranted for that long, got so mad at some of these things, and I think for the most part, reasonably so. However, I still gave it my seal of approval because this game came out in 1988.
Yeah, that's
crazy. Do you guys understand
that? Which is so
that?
Crazy.
1988, and it does so many things well. It's got this Metroid-esque style gameplay and exploration. And there's so much love put into it. I feel like, even thinking back on it now, I do remember, I'm still a little tender from some of the things, and some of the difficulty, but it is a brilliant game where you're going and finding all of these upgrades to your tank, these upgrades to your person to be able to get to new. I just love that kind of Metroid-esque style of gameplay. And yeah, I think Blaster Master does it so well.
And that music in Blaster Master is way too good. Like, it shouldn't be that good, but the soundtrack, you can listen to it today. Like, if you pull it up on YouTube while you work, and it holds up.
Patreon Pool gave us another interesting title for episode 121 with Maniac Mansion, which we ended up not giving our seal of approval. Patreon Pool that didn't get our vote for New Game Plus.
And I think that's how it should have gone. I genuinely don't like this game. It's a point-and-click adventure. It's a very classic one. You should know about Maniac Mansion if you're a gamer. Like, very notable.
Did a lot of firsts.
A lot of firsts. Just a point-and-click adventure, though, still. And so, for whatever reason, I don't click with them. They don't age well just because of the advancements in gaming in general. And I thought it was bad.
Well, and if you're going to do these games, they need to be somewhat intuitive, or you need to have some kind of clues on how to do unintuitive things. But if you remember in Maniac Mansion, there's just some of the things that it's asking, that it wants you to do, that there's no way your brain's going to be able to think that way. Yeah. And so you've got to look up the answers, and that takes away the fun of the game. There's just unintuitive puzzles. You've got to play Hunt for the Pixel sometimes, which is never fun. Yeah, there's just a lot of things frustrating about this, but there are some good redeeming qualities of it too.
Oh yeah, diverse, fun characters. The sort of tone of the story and what's going on is got tons of humor. The different endings, depending on which characters you use and how they interact with the game. There's a reason this game is known and really popular, and if anything, I think it's just our personal preferences in genre and in just how hard it is for Apple II era games, especially that aren't like simple, you know, that aren't just like a platformer or some kind of puzzle, to even translate forward, that I think were really the only hurdles, honestly.
That brings us to episode 122, Scars, or you'll have to help me, Supercomputer.
Nope, you already messed it up. Simulated?
Simulated computer.
Wait. No, I have no idea.
Simulated cars against real
animals.
Sanimals. Sanimals. Basically,
supercomputer animals, ray reactor spiders.
Racing simulator. I was right. Supercomputer animal
I know,
racing.
I think you're right.
Anyway, Scars is this racing game for the N64 and I think PS1 that I had nostalgia for. So I think I'm the one that put it on the list. And it's just a racing game where you're a robot shaped like an animal
car,
kind of car. And it just didn't hold up, unfortunately.
It's one of the, what system was this for? Is it N64?
N64 and PS1, I think.
And so it struggled with some of those graphics. The thing with like racing games, you need to be able to identify clearly the track. You need to be able to identify clearly the obstacles. I remember some of the weapons on here, some of the things that you could get were unique. I really liked that like hot potato time bomb that's going off that you can pass back and forth. But there's graphically, I think there was just a huge error with what they were trying to accomplish. And it made this game difficult to play and enjoy.
So hilarious, though. Like, I don't know. Like, this one, I think we talked about this, but it was one of those titles where they were like, Christmas is coming up. What can we do to make some money for the system? And they were just like, Animal Cars, go.
Animal Cars. Yep. Engage. Give lots of power-ups and let it just be crazy. And who cares if there's any longevity to it, because it's Animal Cars. So the following week, we ended up playing a really interesting game. Probably,
it's not a game.
I mean,
it's not.
There's an argument as to whether or not it was a game at all. I don't even know what we decided to call it. I mean, it's a game, but barely.
Here's the thing. It Sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead.
But the thing that I'm amazed with is that this is actually your genre. Like, this is the game that you were superior at to both me and Nolan, which is not typically the case when it comes to most video games.
And also something you shouldn't be proud of.
So we played Dragon's Lair. Surprisingly, not surprisingly, did not give it New Game Plus.
Not surprisingly.
Status.
This game is not a game. One of the versions of this game is on DVD, where you just use your remote controller to press play or forward at the right time. It's not okay.
Daphne Bay, though.
Yeah, here's the deal. Beautifully animated.
Beautiful Princess Daphne. That's what you were going for?
Yeah.
Daphne, yeah, according to Nolan, is best Disney princess.
Best
grill. Oh, my goodness.
You disagree, Kenny?
I love this animation style. Love.
Beautifully animated.
And
what was that movie that you like, Kenny, that you thought?
Oh, Sword in the Stone. It totally looks like Sword in the Stone. And just that's beautiful. The fact that it replays a little differently and lets you go through different orders each time is kind of appealing. But this is 100% just a frustrating and intentionally frustrating quarter eater that it's nothing but a single fast twitch, perfectly timed reaction based on what goes on the screen. And so you don't actually have any control of a character. You're just seeing a short video clip play and based on that video clip having to input a perfectly timed input to get the next video clip to make you do the same thing.
It's a memorization game.
Absolutely.
And Kenny, you did a first play that week. And like I said it at the beginning, you did so good.
Yeah,
like,
he did.
Like, I don't know why or how or who or what or when.
Here's the deal. I don't know what it is about these, like, fast twitch, just see it and react video games. But sometimes, not all the time, because I would not expect myself to be that guy at all. But sometimes I'm randomly really good at them. Halfway tangent. We're in an arcade, I don't know, a number of weeks ago. We had some, like, family in town. And there was this, like, Kung Fu Panda game that basically is stuff popping up on the screen and you have to randomly hit or not hit things based on really fast icons just moving at you. And I'm not athletic or good at things, and I just absolutely crushed that game. It's the first time I've ever walked out of an arcade actually winning prizes that weren't on, like, the very bottom shelf. And I don't know. This game was kind of that. Like, see it and react to it.
Episode 124 was Rex Ronan, experimental surgeon, the anti-smoking PSA that did not get our vote for New Game Plus status.
Yeah, it's
rough.
This game.
This game's one of the worst games we played, I think.
It's so bad.
It's really bad.
Your different levels are the trachea, the arteries, the lungs, the heart, and the brain.
Oh. And it was a PSA to kids to not smoke. Remember when that was a big thing back in the 90s?
Oh, this was right in the middle of that whole deal, but like poorly done. It's so like fellow kids, like how can make a video game and it appeal? And then you're inside their body and scrubbing things down with a weird power wash gun that's like, ugh.
And you hit these bombs that then you have to answer true or false for the smoking fact that it gives you.
True, like
if it's anything negative about smoking, it's true, and if it's anything positive about smoking, it's false. And if you answer incorrectly, it damages you or something. If you answer correctly, it immediately demolishes everything on the stage. So it's trying to teach you
reinforce that.
Yeah, I mean that's all it's trying to do the whole time.
It's literally just propaganda, but like poorly done, not self-aware, heavy-handed propaganda that wasn't good as a game either. Like the difficulty in fully clearing all of like the stuff you needed to with your weapon was so clunky and it was just bad across the board. Not on any one front. Everything about it was bad.
And I'd like to point out that your character in game is black. your character on your HUD is white, and the box art is an Asian Rex Ronan. So
love it. Beautiful. Yeah. Got to get them all in there. Sure. Right? One guy. Yeah. Here's the thing. We're not against edutainment games, but Nolan, you made a good point that possibly edutainment only works for PC titles. Not entirely sure why, but that's what we've come to the conclusion of.
Now, episode 125 was Halo Combat Evolved. That is Halo 1, for those of you who didn't know. This is the one that came out in 2001, so this is our most recent game. Is that right?
Yeah, out of these last 25.
Yeah, so huge title. It got NGP, but I had to be pretentious and not give it NGP and recommend Halo 2. But yeah, classic.
Well, this is a game that ages poorly, in my opinion. Like, the Halo Combat Evolved doesn't hold up like some of the other Halo games. I think the series just got better. And this one was rough. The multiplayer wasn't really there, effectively, in my opinion. The campaign was where it shined and where it was good and where it was quality. You've got those epic, you know, music. It was the music of Halo, even including Combat Evolved, that began our Elements series.
I unsurprisingly loved this game. Not a big shooter person, but the Halo franchise is just so good. And between unique storytelling and the music and the immersion and what they were able to milk out of what they had, this game was just, I think, revolutionary. And yeah, it doesn't forward translate quite as well as some of the sequels would, but still, I just had a blast getting to pick it up and run around and shoot some aliens.
Dustin, we tried to do multiplayer for a little bit, and it was lagged out, glitchy, unstable. But I could also I could feel that this one was more single player. Like, of course, they revolutionized that whole multiplayer thing, but like, this one was the single player one more for me. And then Halo 2, it was like, oh, okay, this is what's possible with multiplayer.
Yeah, I would say if you're going back and wanting to play Combat Evolved, do the single-player campaign. Don't try to play with other people. If you want to play with other people, just get into Halo 2, because that takes what was okay and just made it what was great. And so Halo, I mean, it did get our vote, but even looking back on it, I'm like, man, I would really just like, we need to know about this game. Sure, it does deserve to be known and even played, but after you've played it, let's move on to things that did it better.
A game that did not get New Game Plus status was the Super Nintendo, I believe, title Clay Fighter.
Two thumbs down.
This is a kid's Mortal Kombat. It was supposed to. So Clay Fighter, your characters are made out of clay, and it was supposed to be kind of a replacement for those fighting games. It was supposed to be a fighting game that didn't have all the blood, didn't have all the gore, didn't have all the nudity, although Helga.
Had that dark, edgy tone. They were still trying to like hit that, you know, seventh grade boy audience, but without offending mom. And it didn't work well.
It was the game that every kid rented, but no kid owned.
Dude, that's so true. That is so true. Like, you look at the box out and you're like, oh yeah, I saw that all the time.
Yeah.
And like, my biggest problem with this game, I don't care about the style. I don't even respect it, really. I care about fighting games. I care about mechanics and controls, and this game had neither. It was, you didn't feel in control of your character. There wasn't a wide range of moves, really. I mean, and also the hitboxes were way off. And so I didn't feel like I was playing a fighting game. I just felt frustrated.
And then we come to the 1991 Genesis release, The Amazing Spider-Man versus the Kingpin, which there's a lot to talk about here. It ultimately did not end up getting New Game Plus seal of approval, but I thought it was a great idea of a video game.
Remind me, do you know where I landed on this one? I'm blanking.
I don't know where each of us individually landed. I know at least two of us said no.
Right.
But
odds are that you said no, because it was it landed solidly in the no category.
But I'm with Dustin. Like, thinking back, this was kind of a hidden gem almost. It wasn't like a perfect game by any means, but like, it did some pretty good stuff for a Spider-Man game.
Like, I feel like it was one of the games where we were like, hey, this is not a bad game, but maybe it's not a game that you that's a must play, you know?
Like, I don't even especially remember liking it. I mean, some of these games are kind of that way. They just don't stick with you one way or another. But this one, like, I don't have a good retrospective taste in my mouth, and I don't recall why that is. But he kind of just walks around real stiff, and then... The shooting webs thing was kind of cool. Not just webs to swing, but actually sort of as a projectile that you could use and having to collect more of your webbing. But overall, it just, I don't know, felt kind
of countdown mechanic was cool. I liked that.
I thought there were so many cool things about this. Like, remember, the whole premise is that Spidey is bad and everyone's out to get him. These different, like, super bosses have the keys that you need to stop the bomb that's on a 24-hour timer that's in game. Like, so, like, it's not 24 hours in game, but when you get caught, then you lose an hour or two and you just break out again. Like, when you die, quote unquote, you get caught, you have to break out of prison to go after, and so you've got just a timer that's continually ticking down. Within that, you've got take pictures, which you don't always take pictures in these Spider-Man games. You can even go back to Peter Parker's apartment. There's so many unique things that I thought were interesting here.
Yeah, it was lore friendly, and I think kind of understood Spider-Man and the villains well. But I think it was gameplay stuff that got to us. For a Genesis title, I wanted something that looked bigger and flashier and felt more action-oriented. And this felt like, I don't know, like bad Super Nintendo made by a company that hadn't quite gotten its stride yet. Or I don't know. It just didn't do a lot for me.
That brings us to probably the biggest surprise for all of us out of this past 25 episodes. Devil May Cry was episode 128.
It was a huge surprise because I'm usually not down with the emo gothic demon kind of thing.
Yeah. It never bothers me. Like, I can digest that fine, but I thought I would hate it for some reason. Like, I don't know why, but going into it, I was like, it's not going to be good. Turns out it's an excellent game that everyone should play.
It was the first to do that extreme combat, I think, which that in and of itself is huge. That thing where you're graded on not only the abilities that you're using, but in how diverse you are being with your
attacks. How well you chain your things together and non-repetitive you are and how many enemies you can attack kind of nonstop without sort of interrupting things. And so it just gets this attack and kill and just be awesome element to the fighting that just rewards the inner dark child in all of us. I don't know what it is.
It rewards cool gameplay, like cool fighting, which is weird. Like, that's hard to pull off. And like, I think this game was supposed to be another Resident Evil title and it turned into a new IP. And it's got, for me, I felt elements of Resident Evil, of fighting games with the grading of how you do and stuff like that when you fight. And all that shouldn't work at all, but it's just such a fun game. We loved it.
So after one fun surprise came another, as we overwhelmingly gave our New Game Plus status to Seiken Densetsu 3, which... sounds like a Japanese mouthful, because it is, and that's because this game didn't even get an English translation.
This was our first game, to play. Like, we had there now, since there's a lot of fans, there's modified versions where you can still read it in English and play it in English. But this is one of our first and only games that never made it over to the States.
Right.
Unfortunately, because, I mean, we can play it, so that's great. But back then, if I was a fan of Secret of Mana, I wanted to play this for sure.
This was another Patreon pool. So this was something that was submitted, suggested by a couple of different guys. It ended up being in our rotation. None of us knew what to expect. And it just blew us away. You've got a cast of characters, I think six different characters from the beginning that you pick whose story you're going to follow.
So amazing.
And then three unique storylines that two of them are kind of two characters are connected to. You remember days matter, the cycle of the week and the month matter. Like there's just so many things about this. And then on top of that, you can play it with a friend.
And Kenny figured out how to do it on NetPlay on an emulator, and we haven't got to it. I think it's my fault.
Dustin and I got it working. We spent a little bit of time just because technology and it's not perfect. It was a little bit frustrating to pull off, but we got to actually play this game for a brief period of time together, multiplayer. And the idea that you can, and if you could do that in real life with three people in a flawless environment, it would be one of the best RPG experiences ever.
Which brings us to episode 130, Commander Keen in Invasion of the Vorticons, a game that did not get our seal of approval. It's the first three episodes of the Commander Keen saga.
Worst. I'm not a fan. You're supposed to be, apparently, like Commander Keen's supposed to be a classic.
Right. I think it's got somewhat of a cult following, but Nolan was so unimpressed with the pogo stick when Kenny and I thought it was a great addition to this game.
Yeah, no, it's excellent.
No. I don't see why, though. Just, it's like, okay.
The tone of the story, though it's ridiculous as all get out.
Ridiculous.
Radioactive frog jumps down a hole. And
nope.
That's Blaster
Master.
Totally
different game.
Oh, did I totally... I totally
and this
just,
is staying in. Commander Keen was where like Earth was being invaded by the Vorticons, like from Mars or whatever. You got to go to Mars, overworld map to go to these new levels. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I just conflated those games so bad because they are not the same.
Both stories are garbage and so out there. So I'll forgive you. It absolutely does not age well, and maybe I'm a little suspect of it even being good back in the day when it came out, so nah. Episode 131 was Blockout, and I don't think this one got our Nickname Plus, just guessing.
No, it certainly did not.
It was this weird, like, just wrong idea that a team took. Like, they liked Tetris, and then they were like, how about a top-down view of Tetris? That's a good idea.
Well, you guys knocked and hated the gameplay altogether. That was intriguing. I just hated how they implemented it and how it looked and how it actually felt. But the idea of it is still fun to me and something I would play if there was a better... more accessible version.
It takes the strategy out of Tetris. You don't know what your next block is. You can't even make my brain couldn't even make sense of it the whole week of what it was that I was seeing. This was another short episode, less than 40 minutes, because there's very little to talk about this game, and I hated pretty much every single part of this game.
There are no redeeming qualities to it. You can try all you want, but there's just not. Like, just play Tetris.
Yeah, I would just block this out of your memory.
Hey.
There it is. Speaking of something I want to block out of my memory, my least favorite movie of all time was made into a game that may have become one of my least favorite games of all time in episode 132, E.T. The Extraterrestrial.
Nolan and I loved it.
Yeah. Go listen to the episode.
Okay, so this is an old school game. It's a throwback Atari title, which is already just becomes long enough that can be a hard pill to swallow, especially when it's the kind of game that this tried to be, sort of action adventure. And the guys thought they would be cute by trolling me the entire episode and trying to make it sound like this game was good and more redeeming than it was.
It is good.
I think mostly because I hate the movie so much. And it made for a weird, confusing episode where at the end, even though they wanted to, they couldn't get themselves to give it a New Game Plus status because it's that bad that as a prank, they were unwilling to pull the trigger.
You gotta stop. Nolan, I'm remembering some of the things that we said about this game that Kenny somewhat agreed with us on.
You said you could, what I'm trying to say is you could beat this game with your eyes closed. And Kenny said something like, Yeah, but...
No, that's the one I completely disagreed with. There were a lot of things I tried to be diplomatic and sort of contextualized into how bad the game actually was.
You said, Nolan, you said that this it sounds exactly like the movie, and then I said that it's not quite PS4 sound, but it is PS3.
Which is the dumbest thing to say about anything.
So this game is so bad and historically, notably, really, really bad. However, it was the third best selling Atari game of all time. But as soon as everybody bought it, they realized how terrible of a game it is. It doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't play good. You're falling in pits nonstop. And it's just a really, really bad game, and we knew that, and that coupled with Kenny's hatred for the character and the movie, Nolan and I just decided we had to do a troll-isode, and we acted like we really enjoyed it the whole way through. We're getting closer and closer to the present day with my wife's favorite game, Theme Hospital, and it got our seal of approval.
I thought it was pretty brilliant. Like, I didn't expect it to age well, but it kind of did. It's a fun simulator.
It's a business simulator where you're kind of managing and running a hospital. It's for PC. It came out on PlayStation later, but any of these kinds of games where you're having to like move people and build rooms and all of these things, you need a keyboard and mouse to be able to do well.
Yeah, I ended up joining you guys and giving this game New Game Plus and said that it was the weakest New Game Plus I had given a game. And I stand by that. Maybe I'm even a little bit torn because there's some good things about the game, but I just didn't personally enjoy it too much. And so it was a tough decision for me to make.
And that's still surprising to me because I feel like games like this would be right up your alley. Like PC,
I would have said the same thing.
Kind of play, managing resources. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, this seems like a Kenny title.
And then on top of that, the humor I thought would have been something that Kenny would have enjoyed too. Like
the humor
The illnesses are not like whooping cough. The illnesses are like bloaty head and hairy titus.
I mean, whooping cough is pretty funny in its own right.
I guess so. I don't know why I thought of that one. Like the humor here is somewhat irreverent and dark, and it's the game's fully aware of itself. It could go for some like just quality of life improvements, but it's an older PC title. But I just thought it was a lot of fun. It's the right amount of challenge, and your ability grows along with how long you played and what level you're on. And man, I think it works and holds up today.
Yeah, I think if the jokes hadn't made me smile, I probably wouldn't have given this game New Game Plus. But you guys liked it enough, it would have gotten it anyways. And so if you like the whole strategy resource management kind of thing, or if you're really into healthcare, I guess check it out.
No, just go read HIPAA. Episode 134 was Rocket Knight Adventures. This was a New Game Plus approved episode, and it was about a main character named Sparkster that is a possum in knight's armor with a jetpack and goggles.
Which is the best idea. Everything about that I love.
Right. And the story is so convoluted, so confusing. In fact, you're not going to play this game for the story. It doesn't really make sense. But the thing that was so interesting about this game is that each and every stage was completely different, where your main character, Sparkster, doesn't change at all. He never upgrades a bit, but each stage is presenting you new challenges for you to overcome. Super unique concept there.
Really unique. And one of the least repetitive sort of platforming style games we've played. And yeah, every boss, every mini boss just felt different and unique. And it literally, like a lot of games will call themselves an adventure, and I kind of just roll my eyes because whatever, but this game lives up to being called Rocket Knight Adventures because it really was. You were progressing the whole time and learning new things, and a little bit of a learning curve because the mechanics are fairly unique. But once you are up to speed with what's going on, it becomes a really fun game. which brings us to our final episode. Episode 135, the classic genre-defining action role-playing game Diablo. Unsurprisingly, got New Game Plus status from us, and a little bit surprisingly, even got Dustin on board with playing and enjoying this game, which I think Nolan and I were shooting for, but we were a little worried may not happen, being a kind of unique genre for his gaming experience.
Sure. I've always been hesitant towards this genre. And I still think I am, actually. Especially after trying, Diablo 2, and that's a different conversation for a different time. But there's just something endearing about this first Diablo. And I wasn't playing multiplayer, so I was able to go at my own pace. I was able to enjoy it at my own, in my own way. And it was... Again, I'm not for this brooding, dark, demonic type atmosphere, but there was something fun and terrifying about every door that I would open, every floor that I would descend, every puzzle that I was trying to solve, every enemy, unique enemy that I was trying to fight. There's so many unique things here that I had not experienced in video games really before, all put together. And I had a lot of fun this week. I still got it on my computer and still think about playing it regularly.
This sounds really ridiculous, but there's almost something charming about the tone and the darkness, because it clicks. Like, it really defined a genre. And like, I think we made a mistake, Kenny, in being like, let's all play Diablo 2 now. I think that Dustin should play Diablo 2 single player.
He'd play it at his own pace.
And then maybe we could do team, or, multiplayer. But maybe he just enjoys these games single player, which is fine.
Maybe I'm with you. Maybe if I would have let me finish Diablo, and then if I'm sucked in and like the story and want to continue, play Diablo 2 by myself. And after beating Diablo 2 by myself, I would know how to play it, kind of what's going on, and then would probably be able to keep up with you guys and know what I'm doing instead of just trailing along, trying to just pick up all the loot that y'all are leaving
behind.
We messed
up. Yeah.
Yeah, my fondest memories of Diablo 2 were all playing it multiplayer, but with people who were still also playing it for the first time. And so everything was discovery together and item drops together and that, taking it slow and enjoying each boss and each drop kind of thing that is more appealing about it. And so I think that's what can be the most fun. And I'm with you. I've actually gone back, even knowing the genre and having played later titles and really enjoyed some of the current alternatives, and I've almost booted up Diablo and started a multiplayer character just because that allows you to finish on normal difficulty and then go back and play on nightmare and hell difficulty, which you don't get in the first one. And part of me has wanted to go back and replay this game kind of two more times,
All right. Two final questions in conclusion here for this episode. If you guys are willing to do this and take a moment and think about it, two questions. One, out of all the 25 games that we've most recently played, which one game would you encourage people to go back and play? And then the second question is, which one episode would you encourage our viewers to go back and listen to?
Nice.
Those can be different. Those can be the same. Take a moment, look through the catalog, and then answer. All right, Nolan, you first. Which game do you encourage people to go back and play? And which episode do you encourage people to go back and listen to?
Yeah. I recommend that people go and play Metal Slug. It's not my favorite game, and it's not even my favorite out of the games we played the past 25 episodes, but it is so accessible that that's one retro game that is, and it's arcade game that's so easy to get enjoyment out of in 2018. The episode that I recommend that you go listen to is Mega Man 3 because of how controversial it was. It's probably just an entertaining listen, and Mega Man is amazing.
I think with that episode, you actually really did get perturbed with us.
Oh, I was on vacation. It was like Thanksgiving or something, and I was actually pissed the rest of the
day. We ruined your vacation, yeah. All right, Kenny, same questions.
I also was going to say Metal Slug just because it's fun and easy and a blast, but that's boring and on principle, I don't want a repeat answer.
You're salty.
So I'm going to say go back and play Super Mario Land 2 6 Golden Coins.
That was my second choice, Kenny.
Why are we the same person?
I don't know.
Okay. And then for an episode to listen to, I would tell people to go back and listen to DuckTales, probably just because we liked it a whole lot and it was fun and we weren't expecting a lot. And so when you had a unique game with some unique features, I think it made for a fun moment to talk about.
And then I would say go back and play Blaster Master because 1988, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It will frustrate you, but it is a beautiful experience. And I would say go back and listen to Seiken Densetsu 3 to just hear our sheer glee and joy and surprise and excitement and brainstorming together as we talk about the possibility of this being able to work where we could actually play it together.
It's the hardest we've fanboyed maybe since Chrono Trigger.
Yeah,
I didn't fanboy much on Chrono Trigger. I think I still stand by SD3 is better than Chrono Trigger.
I can't go that far.
But I can't argue against it that hard either.
Yeah, yeah. These are the last 25 games that we played. We do this as kind of like a jumping on point. If you've not listened to us for very long, you could very quickly catch our last 25 episodes or so, or 20 episodes or so, right in this one episode. It's a little longer than our normal episodes, but hopefully it's a good jumping on point. Or for those long-time listeners, this is a good reminder of some of the games we played and some of the episodes we've released.
Yeah, doing a look back is always fun, which it better be, because that's literally what our whole podcast is about.
We'd love for you to join us in our Discord so you can talk about some of these games. If you go back and listen to any of them, we want to hear your thoughts on the episodes and on the games. So if you haven't checked us out, come to our Discord. There's an invite link to that on our Twitter page.
As always, we take a moment each episode to say thanks to each of our patrons who give us continued support on patreon.com. You guys help make this podcast a reality, so we appreciate you, especially to our producer-level supporters, Bradley, Zion, and Gimbarino. Thanks so much.
As always, find us on our social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can find us on our YouTube channel as well. Listen to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any other podcast provider. Make sure you subscribe. Feel free to give us a kind rating and review. And thank you, as always, to Tom Tate, who edits and produces each of our episodes. As always, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
All right, I'm Nolan. I'm out of here.
And this has been Retro Recap 5 of New Game Plus. What up, hello, Guten Tag. I hope you're doing well. Sit back and relax and listen to this tale. We gotta go back to 1991 when some aliens came to Earth to have a little fun. The haters say it's fake and that's a mistake because I'm here to wake you up to this take. If you cannot hang, then you need to just quit. Your boy's up in here and about to get it lit. It's the only single game that'll help you get a girl, so join us now for some Toe Jam and Earl.
I quit this podcast.
That's highlight. Best thing that's ever happened to us.